How encouraging to hear those testimonies, and that is a huge heart tenderizer right there, isn't it? Well, this morning for church membership, we have a dozen people coming forward to become formal members of Grace Bible Church, and I want to ask this question: why? Why do we have formal church membership at Grace Bible Church? And I want to answer it with three answers. The first one is in Ephesians 1. If you have your Bible and want to turn there, you can turn there. In chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Why do we have formal church membership? Here's one reason. It's because of how exalted the body of Christ is in God's plan. That's how exalted the body of Christ is in God's plan. This is in the context of Paul wanting us to know God's power toward us who believe. And in that is a description of Christ and the church that comes forth and is staggering. And this is the first display of God's power in verse 20. He raised him, that's Jesus, from the dead, and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That is a powerful display that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and has been seated at the right hand of the Father. And go look for every rule, go look for every authority, go look for every power and dominion, go find the best name in this age, find the best name in the age to come, and he is with God's power above all of those. The first display of power is a power that lifted Christ up as high as possible above everything. In the second display of God's power in verse 22, it says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet. That power of display is in the opposite direction. The first power of display of power pushed Christ above everything. This one pushes everything down under his boot. He's a victorious king. Everything is under his foot. Nothing is out from under it. Where does that leave us, the church? Well, God had to do a third display of power at the end of verse 22. And he gave him, Jesus, as head over all things. He's the head over all things. Remember, he's above everything. He's the head over all things. God, in this power display, gave him to the church. What is the church? It's his body. The fullness of him. He's the one who fills all things. All in all. You see, we once were under his victorious boot, subjected under his lordship, worthy of being trampled upon. And yet by his grace and power, he stooped down to us with his gospel, and he savingly lifted us up to be his body, under his headship. And we, in turn, are the fullness of him. If the world wants to see something of Jesus Christ in all of his fullness right now, where would they go see it? Us. Listen, the church is not some inconsequential group or gathering. We are not an informally gathered group of people. We are not man's hobby. And we are not man's plaything. The church is not some group casually, kind of, sort of committed to one another. The church is the exalted body of Christ in God's grand agenda. So we desire as formal a commitment as we can make with one another. Why do we have formal church membership? Because of how exalted the body of Christ is. Second answer is because of the compelling example of the early church in the New Testament. There are some compelling examples in the early church in the New Testament. Believers in Acts were numbered, and the church knew who they were. At one point it says about 5,000 men believed. They knew who the men were. They had counted them. And that was one way of then kind of doubling it, and you knew how many women, and then maybe some more with younger children, perhaps. In Acts chapter 6, they knew who the Greek widows were, the Jews who would speak Greek and had been Hellenized or adopted Greek culture, and they knew who the Hebrew widows were. They knew who they were. These were not anonymous people in the church, loosely gathered together. They also know who the priests were who had come to faith. They had been serving in the temple, but now they believed Messiah Jesus. They knew who they were. See, they were numbered, and the church knew who they were. That's a compelling example. They knew each other. Believers also deliberately and visibly associated with one another. In Acts chapter 5, after Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in the church, the unbelievers outside the church knew who the church was. And they weren't associating with the church, but they held them in high regard. Listen, the unbelieving population around the church knew who the church was. If the unbelievers knew who the church was, did the church know who the church was? Of course they did. Of course they did. And even analogies used to describe the church in the New Testament, the church is a flock, we are members of the body, and we are a building of God in the Spirit. That indicates a more formal and not casual association with one another. Listen, a pile of bricks is not a building. You know that. And neither is a loosely associated, anonymous group of believers automatically a church just because they're together. There has to be a biblically defined and a biblically driven connection between actual believers in Jesus Christ who know each other before it's a church. And even the instructions in the early church to leaders like elders and deacons, that assumes an identifiable, purposeful membership, not a transitory, migratory, uncommitted people who attend. You don't appoint leaders over people who are anonymously associated with one another. And nowhere in the New Testament is there any evidence of that the church was designed by God to be that kind of a loose affiliation of people with more or less the same beliefs. Nowhere in the New Testament is there evidence that they could be migratory, moving from one church to the next whenever they wanted, sometimes here, most of the time not. There's no evidence of this as you read the New Testament. So why do we have formal church membership? Because the early church in the New Testament, it's a compelling example for us. And lastly, why do we have formal church membership at Grace Bible Church? Because of how important each member's task is in the body. Let me just give you a couple. Here's what you are up to in the body of Christ. Matthew 18, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. You go and show him his fault in private. And if he listens to you, the one that went to him, you have won your brother. Listen, how do you know in a church if the guy sitting next to you actually is your brother in Christ or not? How do you know if he's living a life that is worthy of the gospel if he's anonymous to you? How do you know if he's not, if you don't know him? How will you know if your brothers and sisters in the church are actually doing that whole Matthew 18 the right way or not? Is anybody in that church overseeing that to make sure that it is being run in a biblical way? Membership makes this much clearer. In Acts 20, Paul exhorted elders at Ephesus, be on guard for all the flock. Help the elders know that you are among this flock, because then they know whom they are to shepherd, because we have to shepherd all of the flock that God has given to us. Romans 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. How can we be devoted to someone we don't even know, or that we're not around enough to know? So why not formalize our membership together so we can express that devotion to one another? Romans chapter 12, the church was to be contributing to the needs of the saints. You can't know what a believer's needs are if you remain anonymous to them. And this body can't know in turn what your needs are to contribute to if the body remains anonymous to you. In Romans 15, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. If you only know someone casually, if you only know somebody informally, if you only recognize faces but really don't know names and situations and spiritual maturity, you don't know if they are spiritually weak and in need of your strength. And the converse is equally true. You also don't know if they are spiritually strong to help you with what your weakness is. And perhaps most sobering of all, Galatians 1 and chapter 5 also, Paul says, I'm amazed. He's writing to the church. He's writing to a church and he says this to a church. I'm amazed you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. You were running well as a church. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Listen, the church can fall away from the gospel for that which is not the gospel at all. So why not join formally with each other, our lives together, helping us hold the gospel such that we will never depart from it? Listen, departing from the gospel does not fall on one man's shoulders, and it doesn't fall only on the elders' shoulders of a church. It falls on all of our shoulders, that we will hold fast to the gospel together. So why not formalize that as much as we can, our commitment to one another? Why do we have formal church membership? Because of how exalted the body of Christ is, because of the compelling example in the early church in the New Testament, and because of how important each member's task is in the body. You need to know who your brother and sister in Christ is here. So each of these coming forward this morning has completed the membership classes that helped them to no longer remain anonymous, or it helped to remove any remaining anonymity that they might have had with the body. Each one has also had an elder interview and testified to their faith in Jesus Christ and their repentance toward Jesus Christ. And each one this morning affirms the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that they are not relying on any good works to make them right with God. They affirm the doctrine of the church, and they affirm the pursuit of a godly life in Jesus by his grace. And therefore, the elders of Grace Bible Church unanimously recommend each one of these for membership in this church. And so all that is left to do is to have them come forward in a moment, stand with the prior members of our body, and then read out loud together our church covenant. We'll put it up on the screen here in a moment. Our church covenant is really just a summary of how the gospel says that we should view one another and how we should live with one another in gospel unity within this church that we've committed to. Reading it out loud together does a couple of things. It first, doing it together gives us an opportunity to just renew our commitment to one another when we read it. Standing and reading it together also allows us to do something that we only do really twice a year, and that is actually visibly express our formal membership with each other. It's on this kind of a Sunday that you would only know really who has formalized their membership here. And so members who have done this before are going to stand, and we're going to have new members lined up down here, and you'll be actually able to see who the members of Grace Bible Church are. We recognize in doing that, that there will be many who will be seating because you're visitors or because maybe you're newer to the church. And we don't do this to pressure you or to make you feel awkward or to make you feel guilty by any means. We know that not everybody is in the same place ready to commit their lives to a local church. But can I just tell you this, that if you're sure, if you've been coming here and you're not really sure you're going to commit to this church, let us help you find one where you can. Because we're not the only church that is the body of Christ, raised up under his boot, but under his head, representing his body. There are other churches that you must be with and formalize your commitment with them. We'd love to help you with that if we can.